Welcome to another episode of PhD BNM Behind the Lab. Today we'll explore the fascinating world of cells, microbes and cell therapies. Let's begin.
Hello everyone, my name is Feliciana Iannibelli. I am a first year PhD student at the Laboratory of Neurophysiology and Neurobiology of Developmental Brain Disorder, coordinated by Professor Chani. My research focuses on developing a novel therapeutic platform for CDKL5 deficiency disorder, a severe X-linked neurodevelopmental condition characterized by early onset epilepsy and profound cognitive and motor impairments. CDD is a monogenic disorder caused by mutation in the CDKL5 gene, leading to the lack of a functional protein. While protein replacement therapy is a logical approach, its clinical application is hindered by two major factors: the challenge of crossing the blood-brain barrier and the high cost and invasiveness of lifelong systemic administration. In our laboratory, we previously demonstrated that fusing the CDKL5 protein with the TAT cell penetrating peptides allows it to reach the brain and rescue functional defect in mouse models. However, the production and the delivery of this recombinant protein remain significant hurdles. To overcome this limitation, my project explores an innovative delivery system using Lactococcus lactis. This is a food-grade, generally recognized safe bacterium. Our goal is to engineer Lactococcus lactis to act as a living biofactory. Once administered orally, this engineered bacteria can produce and secrete the therapeutic protein directly in the gastrointestinal tract, potentially allowing for a non-invasive and continuous delivery of the treatment. A critical part of my work involves protein engineering. The full-length CDKL5 protein is highly unstable due to its disordered C-terminal region, which is easily degraded by bacterium proteases. To address this, I have worked on the science truncated variation of the protein. Among these, we identify a specific construct named DC550. This variant maintains full enzymatic activity but exhibits significantly higher stability and expression level within the Lactococcus lactis system, making it the ideal candidate for our delivery model. Currently, we are optimizing the secretion efficiency of DC550 construct. The next phase of my PhD will involve in vivo validation in CDKL5 knockout mice. We will evaluate the biodistribution of the protein from the gut to the central nervous system and assess its efficacy in improving behavioral and morphological phenotype. In conclusion, this project aims to transform protein replacement therapy from an invasive procedure into a scalable, cost-effective, and oral treatment. If successful, this microbial delivery platform could be adapted for various other genetic disorders, providing a more accessible therapeutic future for patients. Thank you.
Hello everyone, my name is Longina Aurora and I'm a first year PhD student in the Signal Transduction Laboratory coordinated by Professor Ratti. My PhD project focuses on skeletal muscle regeneration with a particular emphasis on an innovative therapy known as photobiomodulation. Muscle injuries are very common, especially in sports and during aging, and they don't always heal effectively. When the damage is extensive, muscle tissue may lose its regenerative capacity and develop fibrosis or functional impairment. For this reason, it's essential to understand how to stimulate the cellular mechanism that promote proper muscle regeneration. Photobiomodulation is a non-invasive therapy that uses low-intensity light in the visible or near-infrared spectrum to stimulate cellular activity. It has already been used with promising results in skin regeneration and inflammation control. However, its application in skeletal muscle is still poorly explored and strong scientific evidence is currently lacking. The core of my project is to investigate how photobiomodulation influences the muscle microenvironment by evaluating the activity of the different cellular population that compose it. Particular attention is given to the so-called secretome, which is the collection of bioactive molecules production by cells. A fundamental component of the secretome is represented by a cellular bicycle, a small structure that transport proteins, growth factor and microRNAs and play a key role in cell-to-cell communication. The hypothesis of my work is that photobiomodulation modulates the release of this extracellular bicycle, making them more effective in supporting muscle repair after injury and in reducing local inflammation. To study this mechanism, I will use different in vitro models. In the first phase, I will develop two-dimensional models of healthy and damaged skeletal muscle by inducing muscle atrophy and subsequently applying photobiomodulation using a different treatment parameters. Then I will analyze the secretome and the extracellular vesicle producted, evaluating their molecular content and regenerative potential. Subsequently, I will recreate an inflammatory microenvironment by involving immune system cells in order to investigate whether photobiomodulation also exerts an immunomodulatory effect. Finally, the project includes the development of a three-dimensional skeletal muscle model, which more closely resembles physiological muscle tissue, to test the effectiveness of photobiomodulation in a complex and realistic system. In conclusion, this study aims to clarify the cellular and molecular mechanism underlying photobiomodulation, with the goal of contributing to the development of a new therapeutic strategy to improve skeletal muscle regeneration in a safe and non-invasive manner.
My name is Aretha Rambaldi, and I'm a PhD candidate in Biomedical and Neuromotor Sciences at the University of Bologna. And before diving in, I'd like to acknowledge the support of AGD Bologna, whose contribution is helping us carry out this research. Today, I'd like to share with you my research project, focused on the development of a cell-based therapy for type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease in which the immune system destroys the pancreatic beta cells, necessary for producing insulin. For patients, this means a lifelong dependence on exogenous insulin and the challenge of maintaining stable glucose levels. Even with modern therapies, which include the use of monoclonal antibodies and advanced devices for insulin administration, the burdens remain high. My project starts from a simple but ambitious question. Can we create a therapeutic strategy that restores insulin production while also modulating the immune system, without relying on lifelong immune suppression? In order to answer this question, my work is based on the use of perinatal stem cells, which are collected from tissues such as the amniotic membrane and umbilical cord. Why these cells? Because they are incredibly versatile since they combine two powerful features. They can differentiate into insulin-producing cells, and they have strong immunomodulatory properties. In particular, the three cell types on which I will focus my attention will be amniotic epithelial cells isolated from the amnios, umbilical cord mesenchymal stem cells isolated from the Wharton jelly, and finally the endothelial cells from the umbilical vein. My goal is to drive amniotic epithelial cells into insulin-producing cells, making them responsive to different glucose concentrations. But how is it possible to change the identity of these cells? First of all, it's important to prime the cells, driving them into a more plastic state. To do that, cells will undergo two specific treatments using small molecules to facilitate the differentiation process. But in type 1 diabetes, producing insulin is not enough. What is important, in fact, is to suppress the autoimmune attack against specific antibodies, characteristic of this pathology. So how can we modulate the immune system? This is where umbilical cord mesenchymal stem cells comes to the aid. These cells, in fact, are well known for their capacity to modulate the immune system, suppressing the cytotoxic population which is involved in beta cell destruction. To really mimic what happens inside the pancreas, the idea is to build a three-dimensional structure that doesn't just look like an islet but actually behaves like one. So we combine cells that can produce insulin with cells that can modulate the immune system, and then we add an endothelial population to recreate those microvessels that keep the whole spheroid alive. In the end, my aim is to create a vascularized, immune-tolerant, insulin-producing spheroid that could, one day, offer a new therapeutic option for people living with type 1 diabetes.
Hello, my name is Martina Sarga. I am a nurse and I am currently in the first year of my PhD in biomedical and neuromotor sciences. The project I am working on is titled Optimizing Post-Transplant Outcome Through Interdisciplinary Health Sciences Intervention, a multidimensional approach in an Italian university hospital. The research is about the post-transplant care and in particular about the contribution of different health professionals to patient recovery after solid organ transplantation. When we talk about transplantation, we often focus on the surgical procedure or on medical treatment, but actually the success of transplantation also depends a lot on what happens afterwards during follow-up and long-term care. In this phase, the role of nurses, rehabilitation professional and technical diagnostic staff becomes very important. This kind of work is particularly relevant in complex and innovative clinical pathways where different professionals need to work together to support the patient recovery. What interests me is understanding how this professional intervention can really influence patient outcome. For example, not only from a strictly clinical point of view, but also in terms of adherence to treatment, functional recovery, patient education, self-management, and quality of life. These are all very important aspects, but they are often less visible and less systematically measured compared with traditional biomedical outcomes such as graft survival or complication. For this reason, the main goal of my PhD project is to develop and validate a set of outcome indicators that can measure the effectiveness of interdisciplinary non-pharmacological intervention in post-transplant care. The project is structured in three phases over the 3 years of the PhD. At the moment, I am working on the first phase, which is a scoping review. This is the first study within the project. The aim is to map the literature on non-pharmacological intervention delivered to adult solid organ transplant recipients and to identify which outcome indicators are currently used to evaluate this intervention. This phase is very important because it gives me the theoretical and methodological basis for the rest of the project. In the second phase, I plan to work on the validation of the indicators using a mixed method approach. This means combining qualitative and quantitative methods, for example, involving healthcare professionals through focus group and structured evaluation tools. Then, in the third phase, the idea is to test this indicator in a real clinical setting to see whether they are actually useful and applicable in everyday practice, and whether they can support quality improvement and in clinical governance in transplant care. So overall, what I hope to do in the 3 years is to contribute to a more integrated and patient-centered model of post-transplant care, in which the role of different health professionals is more clearly recognized and also more effectively measured.
And with that, we wrap up today's episode. Thank you for enjoying us on this journey. Stay tuned for more episodes of PhD Binnen Behind the Lab. Until next time.